This is a podcast devoted to your San Francisco Giants.
The ball game is over. The series is over. The Giants are heading to Philadelphia for the National League Championship Series.
If you're sick of the East Coast bias, this podcast is for you.
Strike three, called! A cutter on the outside corner at the knees. The ball game is over, and the Giants have won the National League pennant.
With your hosts, Willie Dills, Mike G., and Ben Lee.
Swing and a miss, and that's it! The Giants are world champions as they come pouring out of the dugout, circling Brian Wilson, the bullpen, flying in from left center field, dancing, hugging, and celebrating for all you Giants fans, wherever you are. This party is just getting started.
Don't forget your glove, grab some pine, and settle in. This is Torture Cast.
Welcome to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. My name is Willie Dills, and this is episode number 18 on January the 29th, February.
Don't look getting ahead of yourselves.
I'm looking there, you know, and there isn't even a February 29th most of the time. What am I talking about?
There's still like 21 days until pitchers and catchers report.
That's true.
Which isn't much, finally, but
That sexy voice you hear is our very own Ben Lee. He's all the way from Los Angeles, the home of the enemy. But thank you for making time to talk about the true and good baseball team in the Major League Baseball, which is, of course, the San Francisco Giants. How's it going, Ben?
I'm infiltrated deep behind enemy lines. I'm only going to be able to hold this up for about an hour or so before they find me.
I saw that you actually posted a picture from the Dodger Stadium.
No, it wasn't at the stadium. It was actually at there. You know, it's a lot like the with the Giants that have dugouts.
Oh, is it like the Giants dugout? I see.
Okay. Yeah, it was a Dodgers clubhouse store out on City Walk at near Universal Studios, and I passed by it and I kind of was like, I should take a photo of this so that all my friends can make fun of it on Facebook, which is exactly what happened.
Which is pretty much what went down. Yeah,
it was a pretty exciting result there. Yeah.
So are you wearing your gear? Are you repping? Are you repping hard while you're there?
I've been wearing my gold champions hat pretty much everywhere I go.
Sweet. Good for you.
So that's worked out pretty well, except that it's really hot here. And so after a while, I kind of have to take the hat off and just shake it out. It gets a little unfortunate.
You also have to watch out for hooligans out there for sure. And also joining us, of course, is Chad King. Chad King, welcome back to the Torture Cast. Second episode with us.
I will try harder than the defensive line for the Pro Bowl tonight.
Yeah, that
A lot of us are trying harder than the defensive line for the Pro Bowl tonight.
It doesn't take a lot to do that.
You're setting the bar pretty low, Chad. We're going to need you to aim a little higher.
You know, like wave my fingers or something and like talk some smack, and that's about it.
They basically decided that it was just visiting time. They're just, you know, I don't really get to talk too much to the offensive line I'm going up against most of the time because I'm trying to, you know, push them backwards and spin move around them and things. But this time I'm actually going to find out how their wife and kids are doing. So that's what the Pro Bowl looked like to me, although it was definitely an entertaining game. Brandon Marshall going off for 4 touchdowns. And Cam Newton got sacked a couple times, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I think they also had like 3 running plays in the entire game. So
yeah.
It was very exciting.
It was pretty much like go routes and just launch the ball as far as you can and see if someone will come down with it. But, you know, like we said before the show, football is a weird game to have an all-star game for and have people take it seriously because no one wants to get hurt, you know? So,
well, I mean, any sport, the All-Star game is really just meant for the fans to come and like see all of their All-Stars in one place, not necessarily to watch them play really hard. I mean,
which is interesting that now the Major League Baseball has instituted the All-Star Game Matters thing.
And
I actually really like it, like personally.
I
think the games
really
have been better.
It's just me, I guess.
Nah, yeah. I bet in front of the Giants a couple years ago, but
it did. And yes, the Cardinals.
But yeah, it's strange to see these guys in Hawaii. And obviously we saw 8 49ers there, which is unfortunate because they should have been in the Super Bowl if it wasn't for a couple of plays. But other than – sorry, I'm not bitter or anything. But but other than
Can't
that,
hear it
yeah.
at all. I don't know why you even brought it up.
What? 49ers? What? No, but the defense, you know, it was pretty amazing. You know, these guys would be streaking down the sidelines and catching a ball, and they would be kind of like – grabbing their shoulders, going, "Hey, so like, do you want to go down the next 5 yards? So, like, I can register a tackle because, like, I don't want to hurt you."
Yeah, so, I don't want to hurt you, but I do want to make my stats look like I did something.
Yeah, it wasn't really football. It was pretty much flag football, but
yeah,
you know,
it's like flag
it was
football.
Fun.
Yeah.
I just have this image of like somebody running up and like tapping one of the quarterbacks on the shoulder and being like, "Dude, Cam, can I get a sack? Dude, hook it up.
So a lot's been going on besides the Pro Bowl.
A lot's been going on in
the Giants camp these days. A couple of big signings, and I don't know if we're done necessarily, but it feels that way to me, and we'll talk about some of these right now. We'll go ahead and let's start off with talking about one of Ben's favorite topics, which is, of course, Brandon Belt. Now, do you have a theory on Brandon Belt? Is that why you wanted to bring this up? Because I feel like we talked about it a little bit last week, but...
I feel like the what do we do with Belt situation is only like going farther downhill as time passes. It's like there's such a logjam that's sort of beginning to form in on like all over the diamond that it's kind of like so we've got this guy, he can like hit pretty good and he can like
maybe
do things pretty good
maybe
we think
yeah.
But we're just not gonna find out. And just it's like Schrodinger's cat. You figure that if you don't actually put him out there, then in your mind he's a talented prospect for as long as you can avoid actually showing him anywhere.
Yeah, he's alive and dead
to find
all
out
the
either
same
way.
Time. Yeah,
exactly. So Brandon Belt is alive and dead at the same time. That seems to be where we've ended up.
Well, I gotta say this. I don't know if the comment that was left on our blog basically stated that they thought. A fan, I guess, thought that Belt is basically guaranteed the starting first baseman job, which I don't have. I have not seen anything about. I see no proof of that anywhere.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Chad, did you end up listening to that?
I listened to the whole segment, and it was a really good interview with Belt. I hadn't really listened to a 20-minute interview with him ever before. He's a really nice guy. I mean, he just seems very, you know, benign and pretty humbled. He didn't seem to indicate at all that he was not going to be the starting first baseman. He didn't say he was going to be either, and he actually did play a lot of outfield in the Dominican League in December, but he didn't seem to indicate at all. So I'm not really sure what basis that comment has.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I pulled away from it, too. I didn't listen to the entire thing, but I listened to enough of it to kind of get a sense of you know, what maybe the fan was talking about. And I got to say this, I did hear the same thing you're talking about, Chad, that he's a very humble guy, but it's almost like humble to a fault. You know, it's like
He
doesn't have that kind of, you know, like Will Clark.
We need a little swagger.
Will Clark, when he came up, thought he was the man, you know, and acted like he was the man. And even though he was a rookie, a wide-eyed rookie in a lot of ways, he also was very confident. You know what I mean? You see, and like Buster Posey, without being like a cocky son of a bitch, acts like a very confident player, you know, like he knows what he's capable of. And I don't really see that out of Brandon Belt right now. He just doesn't see. And he talked about it in the interview, how his confidence was shaken and he didn't really know why and he didn't know how to fix it necessarily. And that to me, listening to the interview, that was the biggest thing I took away, was I'm kind of concerned for the mental stability of this guy. If he doesn't get that swagger, you need that if you're a highly touted rookie and you're trying to fight for a spot. You have to believe you own that. You earned it. You know what I mean? And he did earn it last year, in spring training, and then he quickly let it go. You know, I'm glad he's playing a lot of outfield because that's probably where he's going to have to get most of his playing time. But I think the situation right now is he's going to be on the team. And he's going to have to get his at-bats where he can, and he's going to have to find that confidence. And if he doesn't, he's going to quickly find himself in obscurity, and we'll have to see what happens in 2013 for him.
If he had Will Clark's swagger, he would definitely put on that G-string and push.
Exactly. He would, yeah.
Push Huff out of the starting position. There's no doubt about it. But
I don't even know what to say to that idea. Keep Belt awkward.
You do remember, though, 1987, when Will Clark comes up, he hits a home run, his first at bat against Nolan Ryan, and like he's just off to the races, you know. And Belt hit that home run against the Dodgers that first series,
yeah,
of the season, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, this guy is going to be, and that was like a shot, you know. Like, it wasn't, he went down and hit a, you know, not an easy to hit ball, and took it over, what was it, right center? I mean, he really hit the crap out of that ball. And I thought, wow, we're going to be seeing this all season. And then it just disappeared. You know what I mean? So as much as, yeah, we like as Giants fans, we're like, we want this guy to be in the lineup. We want him to play all the time. We want him to come up and come up big. I don't know if I really see it yet. And if he doesn't, I don't want him to just be in the lineup just because, you know what I mean? I want the guys who are producing to be in the lineup. And I got to say, I feel like Huff is going to have a big year. I do. I also have to say
that, like, really nobody gets the chance to produce if they don't get in the lineup. So there's sort of a caveat to that. But you figure a lot of this is going to shake out in spring training. We're going to see them get their at-bats, and we're going to get an idea coming in. Then again, Belt did have a really solid spring training last year, too.
He did.
Yeah, well, but he did play a lot early in the season last year. Like, he did get a chance, and, you know, he didn't really make the most of it. And then
I'm also saying you can't also just, like, drop him out of the lineup this year because you say he's not going to produce. That's something that you got to give him the chance of, you know, Belt, who's been in the Dominican Republic, who's been tossed up and down a couple times last year, to actually get, you know, it's a different Brandon Belt we're going to see this year. He's not the exact, I mean, he's probably still got some wide-eyedness about him, but he's not the same wide-eyed rookie that we saw. So
one thing I took from the interview, though, is that, you know, here he is down in the Dominican and he's playing, you know, almost Major League Baseball. And they asked him what he was doing in his off time. And he said he basically just sat in his hotel room and watched movies every night. He never went out of his hotel room. And I just, it's like, man, go have some fun.
Yeah, that sounds sad.
I mean, you know, you're not even paying for this. Go have some fun. I mean, he's definitely not juicing. I will definitely tell you that because he is very reserved. So, I mean, he's definitely a choir boy, which is probably good on a lot of accounts. But
not
at the same
a bad
time,
thing after some of the
exactly. Anti Barry Bonds here, but still.
Right. So we've got a lot of guys like that, I think, on the team. I mean, I think you know, Madison Bumgarner. I think Ryan Vogelsong, Matt Cain. You know, these guys are all kind of like very family men, you know, very family oriented, kind of quiet guys. And then we've got on the opposite end of the spectrum, we've got, you know, Brian Wilson, Sergio Romo, Aubrey Huff,
Timmy,
you know, yeah, Timmy. You can definitely put Timmy in that category. But yeah, there's almost like two different camps of personality types in the Giants dugout. And yeah, he falls into the category of the more reserved, more quiet guy. But I hope his bat is not reserved and quiet. He has the ball is in his court. Like, he can earn that spot if he plays his way into it. Because of the fact that Huff didn't have a good year last year, you know, he'll get every opportunity in spring training, I think, to show what he's got. So,
you know, he's going to be like Brett Saberhagen, speaking of Huff. You know, he's on, off. So he's going to be fine. This year is going to be a good year. So.
So let's go ahead and move into some of the big acquisitions or kind of big acquisitions and signings that we've had.
Not so big acquisitions.
Well, there's something.
At least they're acquisitions.
Well, first we'll start off with, I mean, you could call this is definitely a big move, picking up Lincecum for 2 years at $40.5 million and avoiding arbitration. So basically, I mean, the arbitration still mattered. You know what I mean? The fact that they had to put these numbers in. Still ended up mattering in the long run, but I don't know. I mean, do you guys feel like 2 years, like, we wish we could have him longer? Do we think that getting him for more than one is a victory?
Well, they
paying him too much, you know?
They offered $100 million over five, and he said no. And we talked about this last podcast, but the reality is he doesn't want a long-term contract. He's the antithesis of most Major League Baseball players. It's a guaranteed contract, and he doesn't want it. And, you know, you got to look at the flip side and see if – you know, there's a silver lining to this. I'm not saying that he's going to get hurt, but he does have the unorthodox delivery that a lot of people say he's going to eventually get hurt. And he's only, what, 27, 28 years old. So, you know, hypothetically, if he does get hurt in the next 2 years, well, the Giants are going to owe what they owed to Barry Zito for the extra five. But at the same time, if he, you know, wins another Cy Young or two over the next 2 years, well, the Giants are going to have to pay $28, $29 million for the next 2 or 3 years after that. So, yeah.
You know, the thing is, yeah, it's you know, it's a gamble either way for both parties. But, you know, you're not going to make much more than $20 million a year. You know,
no.
Like, I mean, that's a lot of money, you know. So for him I need to make sure that – I think it's just kind of his nature. I don't think, you know, it's – probably his agent and people around him are saying, hey, dude, just grab a contract, like, for as much as you can, many years as you want. But I think he's probably the one who's saying, you know, I just don't want to. I don't want to be tied down to one place. I know he likes being a Giant, but I don't think he's kind of got, you know, misgivings about the fact that he'll be here his entire career or anything like that. And he just wants to play, you know, he wants to know where he's going to be next year, and the year after that, he'll figure it out. So I think that shows to me confidence in his, not only his arm, but his ability and his regimen. Like, he doesn't think he's going to get hurt. He thinks he's going to be just fine. And I hope it's true. I hope he's right.
In fairness, people have been saying he's going to get hurt pretty much since he first started pitching. And,
yeah, you know, it hasn't really happened.
It's been
really
a long time now.
Yeah, I think he's got a pretty decent track record of not getting hurt. So,
yeah.
But all pitchers, I mean, pitching damages the crap out of your arm. It really does. And at some point, pitching at the major league level does wear your arm down. So it is going to happen eventually. We'll just see if he's got whatever magic it is that avoids that.
This was basically an arbitration year for him. So my question to you guys, and maybe you understand this better than I do, but at the end of the next 2 years, when he becomes a free agent, what are the Giants' rights concerning, you know, any kind of bid or trade clause? If they offer him $25 million, let's say, before he goes to free agency, it's not going to go to arbitration at that point. He can go ahead and file, right?
My belief is he's basically going to be an unrestricted free agent, right? Unless there's the
right. Yeah. Well, there aren't really restricted free agent is a it's much more of a hockey term. It doesn't work exactly the same way. The way that this will work this time is, and the problem is that the collective bargain agreement just changed, so I'm not sure how the rules for arbitration have altered. But essentially, the Giants, when his contract ends, and if assuming the Giants haven't already signed an extension, which, you know, chances are good they probably won't have, knowing Timmy and Rick Thurman, chances are pretty good that he's going to be offered arbitration. Which used to be the step for getting draft pick compensation for a free agent, is you had to offer them arbitration. If they were to accept, you're then going potentially into an arbitration hearing, or else you're offering them essentially a contract for the next year. Otherwise, if you don't offer them arbitration and they don't want to sign a new contract, they become a free agent.
Yeah, so, and then at that point, that's when the compensatory pick comes into play, right? Okay.
Right, and there's a certain amount of time that the Giants get that they can negotiate with him first, I believe. But okay. I don't know exactly how long that is.
Yeah.
At which point other teams can then begin negotiating with him.
So I got to say, all signs point to if we don't win within the next couple of years, he'll be gone. Yeah, he'll be gone.
Yeah, and Ben, you should go to like some sort of agent school. I'm just saying.
Right.
Hey, you should go ahead and start representing people. I think that might be your calling, dude.
You know, then I don't know if I'd be able to do the podcast anymore. I think that would render me, people would start listening to it just to try and figure out where my players were going.
It's probably a conflict of interest as well to be doing.
Yeah, one backup middle infielder, you know, the commission you make on that could fund this podcast for the next 100 years.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's all good.
PitcherCast agency.
Let's talk about the second pitching acquisition. I guess you can't really call Lincecum an acquisition, but you know, the signing, it's a big deal.
Second
but
pitching
this,
contract.
Okay. This is an acquisition. I don't know if it's big or not. It's Clay Hensley, which is kind of an interesting one. He's actually drafted by the Giants, and his claim to fame right now is giving up Barry Bonds' 755th home run. He was a Padre at the time, wasn't he?
I believe so. Hensley was a Padre for a couple of years there.
Yeah, he was a Padre, and then he was
a
Marlin. Mm-hmm. And I know as recently as 2010, he actually had a really good season. So I think he was in the low twos in ERA, you know, the setup man for the Marlins.
2.16.
Real
solid numbers, even as a reliever.
Yeah, he definitely can be quality arm. That's kind of been an aberration in his career that 1 year, but it might show that he put it together. I know he had a little bit of injury problems last year.
It's worth pointing out, too, though, that the other seasons in which he, you know, like I guess last year, 2011, he had a 5.19 ERA, but he also started 9 games.
Oh, yeah.
So it's worth pointing out that he actually ended up doing 23 games, or I'm sorry, 68 games as a reliever.
That's a lot of pitching.
And none of them starts in the year that, I'm just getting this all sorted out. In 2010, as a reliever, 68 games, 2.16 ERA. In 2011... 37 games, 9 of them started, 7 of them finished, 5.19 ERA. Okay. So it seems to be that he does better for short outings, which, frankly, is something that our bullpen tends to have, you know, do pretty strong in is being able to limit guys for short outings if they need.
Well, we have enough guys, quality arms in there, that we don't need guys to really push and go for two or three innings. I mean, we have confidence in the next guy coming out of the bullpen. And here's the thing about him. He's got a pretty solid two-seam fastball, which, you know, similar to somebody like Affeldt, means you can get out of an inning. If you need to come in, you need to get a ground ball. He doesn't throw hard. It's not like a guy who is just going to blow people away. I think his fastball is in like the low 90s, but you know, it's he's got stuff, and he's proven that he can have a full good year. So to me, I think under Dave Rigetti, you know, he could definitely have another year similar to what he did in 2010, and if he does, that's going to be a real strong pickup for us. And also, it's a non-guaranteed contract, right? So we don't even have to put him on the team.
Yeah. Was Hensley's non-guaranteed?
Yeah, I believe both him and Theriault.
It's non-guaranteed.
Yeah.
I know Theriault is a minor league contract, but...
Yeah, I believe both of these guys are non-guaranteed contracts, so they basically have to make the team. And if they don't make the team, they don't cost the Giants a dime, really.
Right. So, sort of what happened with Mark Kroon and Shane Lux last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's the interesting thing, though. Did you know Giants traded him for Matt Hergis? You guys remember that guy?
Yep.
Man,
now that he was part of that
Hergis
trade. There's
a blast from the not too distant past.
Yeah, closer for basically one season, and you know, he was decent for his time. I liked him for a little while, but so giving up that home run to Barry Bonds, it's kind of like sucks when that's what you're known for, is giving up a home run. But you're known for something. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys who play baseball. And
well, I mean, there's another reliever on the Nationals that was pretty much known for the same thing. So
yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's a safe move. It's nothing that's like it could either pay off or it could cost nothing. So I feel like, you know, Brian Sabin's just trying to, and after losing Ramon Ramirez, you know, you kind of needed to make sure you had your bullpen kind of sewn up. And he's, you know, another right-hander, bring him in. I think he could be quality for the Giants. Let's talk about Theriault then, because that's probably the biggest deal that's happened besides Tim Lincecum. So infielder Theriault, he plays shortstop and second baseman pretty much. I don't know if he plays any third base. I don't think he will be needed at third base, basically. But he kind of rounds out the infield and gives us a little bit of flexibility. And also, with Brandon Belt, who's a lefty, you got a righty now, so you can actually kind of go back and forth a little bit. So I feel like it's a good move, especially if he ends up basically platooning with Crawford at shortstop, and then, you know, coming in at second base if Sanchez needs some spot starts over, you know, which he probably will. I mean, he's an injury-prone guy. Maybe if we give him a little bit more rest throughout the season, he won't get injured. So I feel like this is a solid move. And again, non-guaranteed. If he doesn't make the team, right. If he plays horrible in spring training, it doesn't cost the Giants a dime. So,
well, I mean, minor league contracts are always going to be a benefit for a team because there's, you know, it won't necessarily cost you anything. And if they end up staying in the minors, they're, you know, playing for peanuts pretty much. But
well, yeah, I don't think this guy's going to play on. I feel like if the Giants end up throwing him down, I feel like there's another team that's going to want this guy somewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, people were really high on Ryan Theriault for a while when he was with the Cubs. I mean, he was kind of a big deal, and then sort of dropped off the radar after a while. But I remember every time when he was with Chicago, when Ryan Theriault would come up, I remember every so often I'd be like, "Oh," and I kind of stopped getting that feeling after they traded him.
He also won a World Series, didn't he? Didn't this guy play with the Cardinals
last year?
Yeah, last year he was with the Cards.
Oh, there you go. All right, so there you go. He knows how to win World Series.
Adding another proven ring.
Yeah,
he will be their starting second baseman come July or August. I guarantee you.
Okay.
Well,
you think Sanchez is going down that quickly?
Sanchez is going down.
All right.
At some point,
I think
Crawford is going to hit 200, and he's going to be kind of up and down. And so I think they're going to move Fontenot to shortstop by July or August. And Theriault is going to be at second. That's just the way it's going to be. That's the way the Giants roll.
So basically our 2012 infield for the second half of the season, you're predicting is going to be the Chicago Cubs infield of 2008?
Absolutely.
So when do you think we're picking up Derek Lee? Because everybody was talking about that last year too, so that occurred to me. I was like,
I'd take Will Clark at age 45 at this point.
I know, right? Let's do it. Why not? You know, he could still
hit.
Can't run.
Clark at age 45 at this point.
So, I mean, overall, I think it's a quality move. I think it definitely gives us that flexibility that we need and the ability to plug him in to just, you know, like Chad just said, Sanchez is probably going to go down at some point. We need someone we can plug in that's not just like Emmanuel Burris, you know. So I feel like this is, you know, the right move for Sabian right now. Again, we all wish that we could see a big name come in here, but we know that that's not going to happen. So we're going to have to deal with these kind of journeyman guys who play the role of being able to pick up where someone else left off, you know.
Yeah, that was 2010. I know lightning doesn't strike twice necessarily, but at the same time, 2010, people didn't think it was going to happen. So
Terrio has a decent track record. It's just a question of how close he's going to get to where he was in, you know, 06, 07, 08. And I mean, at this point, you know, he's what, 32? He's going to be 32 this year. So he's probably not trending in the right direction. But at the same time, I mean, he used to hit a good, you know, 307, 284, 270 in 08, 09, and 10. And I mean, he hit 271 as recently as being with the Cardinals. So, you know, that bodes pretty well for us if he does end up on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a step up from where we were if you think about, you know, I mean, not better than Sanchez, but if you're talking about Brandon Crawford, and if it actually works out the way I think that they are hoping it works out, where Sanchez actually gets to play almost the full season, and you're basically putting him in and Crawford in at shortstop, that's a step up in offense when we have him in the game. And it gives Crawford the chance not to have to bat, you know, against lefties. So, you know, maybe his numbers go up a little bit as well. So we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes out. Again, I think it's a positive move. And I think it gives us a little bit of flexibility. So let's talk about Cody Ross real quick.
Before we do that, point out one thing that I think what I think is probably going to be the funniest part of these two minor league deals we signed?
What's that?
No one seems to be able to spell Clay Hensley's last name right. I've seen M's in it. I've seen it missing extra L's. I've seen letters disappear and you never know where they went. It's the big test for me to see who the real sports journalists are is who can actually spell Clay Hensley's last name.
Doesn't seem that hard.
Spell it backwards, Ben. Without looking at it.
Y'all's why do net.
I
have to
I think what's funnier is we signed him for $755K and he gave up Bond's 755th home run.
Yeah, no. Someone thought of that.
Someone was like, 750? Nah, come on, 755, that'd be funny. So he, like, you're never getting away from that one, buddy. That's going to haunt you till the day you die. Sorry. And now Bonds will be, like, in the stands. Because, you know, Bonds goes to the games, hangs out in the locker room and stuff. And he'll be like, yeah, you remember that time when I hit that one? You know, you remember.
That went a pretty long way, didn't it?
He's all like, nah, I don't remember that.
Or do you think he walks around saying, I ended Bond's career? Do you think he says that?
I am the last one.
Like the last home run that mattered. I gave it up. That's it. Boom. Get out of here. All right, let's talk about Cody Ross. Cody Ross is now going to be playing for the Boston Red Sox. Picked up actually $3 million for 1 year, which is not a bad contract for him, I think, considering, you know, 2011 wasn't a fantastic year for him. But I think in Boston, in not only their ballpark, I think he'll hit a little bit better in, but also the situation he's got going over there. He's basically going to be platooning with Ryan Sweeney. So, that's the story out there. So, you know, really Sweeney hits from the left side, Ross hits from the right side. Again, you know, Ross will go up against the lefties and Sweeney will go up against the righties.
That seems an interesting thing to watch, though, because Sweeney is such an upgrade defensively over Ross, or used to be.
Well,
the last year or two, but I just remember every night that a Sports Center turned into the Ryan Sweeney show for a while when he was with the A's.
Yeah, I mean, they're both, I don't know. I mean, neither of them, like, I don't think Sweeney wows you anymore, but I think his defensive skills are definitely better. Ross is not horrible out there by any stretch of the imagination, though, but I feel like he's more of a left fielder than a right fielder, so, you know, he'll have to get, but again, like, that ballpark is much smaller. You know, there's not as much going on out there in right field.
Yeah, I mean, learning to play off the green monster is not the same as dealing with those freaking arches in right that Nate Cheerholtz has figured out. I mean,
yeah, no, that's a whole other situation. And again, he's going to play because of the fact that they're platooning, you know, lefty righty type situation here. So he's a Deadpool hitter and he's going to hit in a ballpark that's actually not bad for a Deadpool right-hander. So I think he's going to have a pretty decent season. And I'm just glad someone picked him up, because as a Giants fan, we all liked Cody Ross, right? You know, and for $3 mil,
definitely
good for him. You know,
yeah, he wanted to be a part of the Giants this year, and it just didn't happen. But I'm just wondering if he, you know, he pulls, you know, 25 doubles off the Green Monster this year. They're gonna be like, Ross is boss.
Exactly.
Done.
They're gonna love him there, because you know he's got that style. That style fits in Boston, you know, kind of like ragtag with the bald head and the beard and all that.
Yeah, so. No, they allow goatees and beards. So,
yeah,
you
know, yeah, they're not against that. Which is again why I think people talk about Lincecum to the Yankees. No way, dude. No way. Lincecum is definitely going to the Red Sox. All right. Anyway,
he'll be there.
Which is funny, because weren't you the one that was talking about Lincecum to the Yankees last year?
Me? No, I always said that he's going to the Red Sox. There's no way he goes to the Yankees. I don't think so. I think Matt Cain goes to the Yankees, and Lincecum goes to the Red Sox eventually. Hopefully
Damn
not
it.
Soon. Hopefully no time soon. All right,
Giants,
so
this is what will happen if you don't hit. This Photoshop job demonstrates to you, if you don't hit, what's going to happen to you that they're valuable people do.
All right, so Prince Fielder, the final thing we're going to talk about here at the top of the show. Big contract with Detroit. And, Ben, that's your
really
second team,
big contract.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, because it is funny because of the whole Cecil Fielder thing, that now Prince Fielder is signing for 9 years with Detroit. But, I mean, 9 years, $214 million, you know. Fielder is, I mean, he's 27 now. So if you're going to lock somebody up for 9 years, 27 is not the worst time to do that. But Fielder just doesn't strike me as having the same kind of longevity you're going to get out of a guy like Albert Pujols.
Yeah,
so it's hard for me to believe that Fielder is going to. I mean, the upside of playing with Detroit is that he can shift into a DH role, and with Victor Martinez sidelined with a ligament injury, it makes sense that that's probably where he'll fit in most easily. But there's also, I think they're saying also that Fielder may play first, and Miguel Cabrera may play third, which is going to be really interesting because he hasn't done that in a very long time.
Well, Fielder,
like Florida.
Fielder's numbers definitely earn him a big contract, but you're right, 9 years is just a very long time. You expected something more like maybe 6 or 7. But maybe that was the difference. Maybe Detroit was willing to go deep like that, and the other teams who are courting him just weren't. He really wanted. So
I've said before that I'm not a huge Fielder fan. I still don't know that I'm a huge Fielder fan. But I am really curious to see how he plays in Detroit and plays in Comerica, which is kind of a little bit of a pitcher's park as well. But it 9 years. 9 years is it feels too much like a Victor Martinez just got injured. This is a desperation contract because we keep being like, it's close to getting into a World Series.
Well, they're a solid team, you know, and this is only going to make them better. I mean, you got to say for a fat guy, though, the guy has durability. I mean, he played all 162 games last year. He did that again in 2009, and in 2010 he played 161. I mean, he's never had less than 157 in the full season. And he's a big fat guy, you know, like how is that possible? But that's how it is. And you know,
for the
so,
record, he's not a vegetarian. He said he was for like 3 months. Apparently
really?
that has long ended.
So he's a liar, but he's also a durable liar. Who's a fat guy who hits a lot of,
you know, there's a lot of durable liars who hit well out there. So if one of them is going to my second team, I'll take it.
It's a lot of top ramen that a vegetarian.
You think that's
buy.
The secret?
Yeah, that's it.
They have a pretty dangerous looking lineup, though, I gotta say, and nobody's gonna want to face those guys if all of them are healthy come playoff time. So you know, you gotta look at the Tigers as definitely a contender in the American League, especially with this big move. Now in the ninth year of his contract, you know, he might be an aging. Has been, but at least for right now, I think they just really wanted him for this go with this team, you know, because they got some beasts over there. So looking like a decent team. All right, let's talk about some other stuff here. What's this big play here, Chad?
Well, this was part of that Lurie interview.
Yeah,
with,
which I actually might play just a quick snippet of towards the end of the show here.
No, it was fantastic. It was a really good interview. It was like 10 minutes with Brandon Belt. And when he was down in the Dominican, he didn't even know what plantains were. Which, you know, I'm not a very cultured person.
He's like,
but
I'm guessing it's plants. Is it some type of a plant? Like,
yeah, plants with ants or something.
Is it,
I don't
is
know.
It a small plantation? No.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, look, for those of you who, you know, don't know what fried plantains are, they're basically bananas.
Yeah.
And when you fry them, usually fry them in rum or some sort of sugar syrup. Usually it's when it's fried, it's in some sort of a dessert.
Yeah,
and I
pretty
like
much.
Bananas. I like sweet bananas and, you know, bananas Foster, and I like ketchup, but I don't like them together.
No.
Apparently, Brandon Belt likes fried plantains or fried bananas with ketchup. So I have to say that's an experiment I've never tried.
You know, I know a lot of people that really like ketchup, though. That's,
you know, I think
I used
should,
to know people that could eat ketchup by itself, and I can't wrap my head around that.
What we should do is we should go to a game and eat fried plantains and ketchup and wear giraffe heads and just hang out and just
his honor.
Yeah, and just cheer for Belt like just so much the entire game while we.
You know what the problem
do.
Is though? You know, if you do that, he's going to spend the entire game on the bench.
Well, exactly.
It's like when you bring the umbrella and it doesn't rain.
We're going to have to wait until, you know, something happens, the lineup gets shaken up, we know he's playing for like a week or whatever before he gets
Well,
sent
you know,
down.
The interview really revealed a lot about his personality. And I don't know this guy, but, you know, just from what he was talking about, he's from Texas. He's kind of a small town boy, and he didn't like to leave his hotel room. He doesn't like to expand his horizons too much. But the fact that
he doesn't want to try some hot sauce.
Yeah, exactly. He ate fried bananas with ketchup. He's got to step up on me. So I'm like, all right, I gotta expand my horizons. This is pretty good. So maybe he's going to be all right this year.
I'm surprised he didn't go with barbecue sauce being from Texas, you know? I mean, I think that would make more sense, but all right.
I mean, can I get a little respect for dipping French fries in milkshakes? I mean, come on.
Oh.
Well, that's fine, though.
But I've tried that.
Yeah. That's fine. I don't know why some things are fine and some things are not. But for me, that seems fine. all right. So let's go ahead and start wrapping the show up. And let's talk about some of our favorite guys we should hate while we win it all that good stuff. So our new favorite guy. Ben, you have a new favorite guy?
I do. Of course, there's no guarantee that we're going to be seeing him this year. But my new favorite guy has got to be Ryan Terrio. I mean, I'm pretty stoked to be able to talk about the Riot. You know, it's always been his nickname, and so it's kind of nice to know that the Riot has come to San Francisco after the World Series was over. But it's also really cool just because Terrio and Fontenot had such a history of playing across from each other. You know, their names rhyme. They're both from they're both
silent T's and all that. Yeah,
right. They're both from the Louisiana area. You know, they're very similar guys, and they were double play partners for so long that it would be really cool to see them on both sides of the Keystone Sack. It's just I don't know that they're a better option than anything we have, and I hope that nothing happens to the guys that we have to put them there. But if the two of them do end up playing across from each other in a game, I'm probably going to bring it up at some point on the podcast. I'm pretty stoked.
It'll happen for sure. I mean, it'll definitely end up happening. I mean, if Chad's prediction comes true, that's going to be our. That's going to be
if
our
Chad's
up the middle.
True, I'm probably going to be more upset first. Yeah, and I'm going to be really surprised and tell him he nailed it.
You
I
know,
nail
it's,
him a beer.
It's. I think it's definitely. Giants fans kind of have a history. We're going to give this guy all the love that he can handle when he gets here, and if he plays well, you know, I mean. We gave guys like DeRosa love after not playing for 2 years. You know what I mean? For like 1 month of solid play. So Giants fans will give this guy love, and if he plays well, he'll become. I think he's got the potential to become another little fan favorite, similar to like Fontenot was in 2010, and some other guys have been. Cody Ross maybe, and you know, he seems like a guy who's got that in him. And we'll see if he's solid at all. You know, all he needs to do is get some singles up the middle, and people will fall in love with this guy. A la Kepinger, you know.
Can't argue there.
Yeah. All right. My new favorite guy, Ben Charrington. He is the GM for the Boston Red Sox. I'm glad that he plunked down that $3 million and picked up Cody Ross. You know, this is his first year over there, and he's actually doing some decent moves and stuff like that, which kind of pisses me off because I'm kind of sick of the Red Sox and the Yankees. But if anything's going to make me cheer for them, it's having a guy like Cody Ross go over there. So, and you know, it's hard to hate on the Red Sox, really, even though I kind of get annoyed with their fans now because they still have that lovable loser mentality, even though they're not that anymore. You know, it's like they were that for so long. It's just hard for them to let that go. But yeah, I'm just happy to see Ross land somewhere and land somewhere where he's got a, you know, a chance to win and go back to the playoffs. So good for Ben Charrington. Huzzah. All right. Let's hate on some people. I'll start. This is why this is a guy I think we should definitely hate potentially. We haven't talked about it on the show, actually, because we were on our hiatus when all this kind of hit. But Ryan Braun accepted his MVP award not too long ago. Yep. And, you know, he tested positive for... Now, here's the thing. They haven't released what, put, you know, actual drug...
They haven't put
you know,
a name on it, yeah.
Yeah, what drug it was.
I don't
but,
know that there's one listed. As far as I know, they just said elevated levels of testosterone.
Yeah,
and
so
no sort of...
The way it works is they have you're supposed to have about a one to one ratio of testosterone to I can't remember what it's called. It's like the anti testosterone or something like that. I'll see if I can find it in here.
Estrogen?
But, no.
I knew that was coming, and I still did nothing to stop it.
Sorry,
it makes me just as guilty as Chad.
But okay, epitestosterone is what it's called. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to have a one-to-one ratio of that. That's like natural. What the Major League Baseball testing facilities do is that if you go over 4-to-1 on that, then you are considered to have been tested positive. Mm-hmm. And so basically, we don't know exactly how far over that he was, but he was higher than 4-to-1 testosterone to epitestosterone, meaning that he has something in his system that's making those levels that out of whack.
It was the Play-Doh from my kids' daycare that I was playing with, and then I went home and pumped some gas and whiffed some fumes, and I contest this.
Yeah, he has not given like a decent response as to why. He's just basically said, no, it's all wrong, but there's no real like...
I mean, I had heard that they did a second test not that much later, and yeah. he had tested negative. Is what I had heard.
Well, I haven't seen anything that says that he did. If that came out, that would be definitely out there. I guess the results are still pending as far as if they're going to give them the 50-game suspension or not.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a good friend that's a Brewers fan who's sort of been campaigning against it, and you know, I looked into some of the stuff he was talking about, and you just like Braun's numbers weren't.
They weren't
exceptionally
incredible.
Better. They weren't like inflated.
No.
Although, you know, at the same time, that's in favor of the argument that says that steroids don't make you a better baseball player. You know, it's, I mean, somebody who bulked up like, you know, people say Barry did since, but if he wasn't as good as he was as a hitter, it wouldn't have mattered.
Well, like someone like Jose Bautista is the guy that like perks your ears, you know, when you go, how did this guy get so damn good all of a sudden? You know what I mean?
The problem is, yeah, but I think we've talked about that too. I know I've talked about it with our buddy Anthony a lot, but like the thing about Bautista though is like he looks the same and his swing has changed. And so he's one of the few guys that I've actually always been like, because I said the same thing when Bautista first started hitting all the home runs. And then I went and I watched some video of him and you can totally see the difference in his swing. He's like the difference in just hanging back on it and just slowing
well, he's
it
he's got
down
like a leg kick now or a step that he didn't used to take.
Yeah, but it changes up his timing. And he mm-hmm. also just, he doesn't like his body used to come forward with his swing and his bat whipped at this really high speed. And now everything is a lot slower. He's sort of measuring it out. The swing a lot flatter. It takes a lot more time. He's really staying back on the ball now, and it's let him take this power that he already had and just learn to use it. And it's really interesting watching it because you expect that this jump must be due to something, and then when you see that it's that, it's like, really? That's all it took?
Yeah, and Ryan Braun has been kind of a good hitter for a while, and it wasn't like, you know, 2011 was a ridiculous step up necessarily. Mm-hmm. He was just a solid hitter all the way through and had a good year all the way around, so I'm not going to say for sure that I believe, yes, he definitely did. But when you test positive, you test positive. I don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. it seems to me like it's kind of hard to test positive for something like this and then convince the world that it was for no other reason. Like it was just some random thing, you know, especially with how kind of, you know, stringent they are. Apparently, Apparently, Batista's been tested 16 times over the past 2 years.
Oh, wow.
That's what he said at a banquet, yeah, in the Dominican Republic.
So I can see how they might.
Yeah, I mean, which is kind of funny because they're supposed to be random, right? But that seems like...
That does not seem quite as random.
That doesn't seem random. Sure. Yeah, 16 times in 2 years? That's crazy. So if he hasn't tested positive by now, chances are he will not. But
so is he BJ Novak from The Office?
Yeah, with you know, a 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I always get confused. And also, you know, Aaron Rodgers. I get those three guys confused.
Yeah, they're basically, have you ever seen them all together? I don't think you have.
No, I haven't.
No.
Not at the same time.
Although his eyebrows are extremely bushy as in comparison with the other guys. But yeah, no, they all got that similar look, which women apparently think that they're all attractive men. I don't get it, but whatever.
I don't know why.
Chad, who are you going to hate on this week?
But I have to say it. He's not a bad guy, but Eli Manning. And it's just, you know, it's just a little bit of an injury from last week with the 49ers.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, I thought you were going to say it's just something about his face.
It's something about the Manning name. No, you know, look, he is a
Peyton to the Niners. What? He's a good,
what?
I know. It's so ridiculous.
Hey, at least I got to see eight of them Pro Bowl.
So
today.
Brian Sabian is working the Niners too now?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
You know, it was compensation to see them today at the Pro Bowl. But you know, he's your boy next door. He's always operated in his brother's shadow.
Yes.
But, you know, the reality is he is a quality quarterback. But at the same time, I hate him because KNBR actually just came out with a poll. Granted, this is a Bay Area poll of probably 200 people or 200 women, but they asked, who would you rather cheat on your husband with?
Wow.
And it was Tom Brady or Eli Manning. Now, look, I'm a married guy, heterosexual, and I was like, okay, Tom Brady. I mean,
Tom Brady all the way.
Clearly obvious, right?
Well, I mean, the guy snagged Gisele Bündchen for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I don't know what the reason was, but that's the point.
Well, have you seen his house, Ben?
Let's not go deep into that, but 54% said Eli Manning.
Wow.
The main reason was his next door boy, good boy looks. And I hate him for that because I think I look better than him and I'm not with all these women. So no. I hate him.
Isn't that pretty much how Topher Grace made an entire career, though?
Boom.
There you go. See, here's the thing, though. I think Eli Manning doesn't seem like the guy that you will cheat on your husband with who will then cheat on you while you're cheating. Do you know what I mean? Like, Tom Brady seems like he's always like going to be. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I just blew your mind. But Tom Brady seems to be like playboy type all the way, always going to be kind of dating a lot. You know, yeah, sure, he's got Giselle, but that's really just arm candy. You know, when he's on the road, he's on the road. That's just how he seems to me. Kind of just a douchey dude who just does whatever the hell he wants.
No, Gary Radnish brought that same point up. He said, I just don't believe that. But at the same time, you know, I guess if your woman is cheating with Eli Manning, you're going to go to her and say, Eli Manning? I mean, it would be okay if you cheated with Tom Brady, but Eli Manning?
Yeah, the key is that if somebody finds out, they won't believe it.
There you go. See, that's the thing. These women
She's
are
cheating
sneaky,
with
man.
Who? Nah.
Women are
Eli
sneakier
Manning.
Than you think. That's the thing. I'm just saying it right now. They're sneakier than you think. They thought this through. When they saw this poll, they thought this through and they went, Eli, I'll be able to, you know, hedge my bet a little bit where I can, if I get caught, I can go with the non-believability factor. You know what I mean? So there you go. I think it's a good pick, by the way, as well.
Obviously, if I was cheating on you, I would totally be cheating with Tom Brady. Oh, okay.
I totally agree with this pick for a couple other reasons, though. I just think he's just kind of a douchebag. Like, he always just looks like he's, like, saggy-shouldered and just whining when he's on the field. Like, anytime things don't go his way, he's just like, oh, come on. Like, his receiver's
out round.
Yeah, it's all his receiver's fault if he doesn't throw the ball to him correctly or whatever. And like,
can't lateral pass if nobody runs left.
And also, I really don't want him to win another Super Bowl. I want him to stay in Peyton Manning's shadow forever. And if he wins a second Super Bowl, how can he logically be in Peyton Manning's shadow anymore?
He'll have twice as many Super Bowls as his brother.
Exactly. Although, if Peyton, okay, do any of you guys believe Peyton Manning is coming to the 49ers? Does that seem at all plausible to anybody?
No.
Nope.
No.
How come it's getting so much press? I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
It's not going to happen.
It's so ridiculous. First of all,
quarterback is not our weakest area.
Well, Alex Smith has not been fantastic, but we're talking about a dude with a damaged nerve. Like, he's playing football on a team where the quarterback got sacked 44 times last year. You know what I mean? It's like, and Alex Smith played the entire season while getting sacked that many times. Peyton Manning will not be able to do that. I just think it would be a horrible move if we did that. So I'm crossing my fingers here. You know, stick with what we got, guys. Build the team around what you have, okay? Please.
Yeah, a couple more pickups like Carlos Rogers, that would be okay.
Yeah, that would be okay.
None of this Peyton Manning nonsense.
How about let's hit a wide receiver and stop talking about a quarterback? You know what I mean? Yeah. Seriously. All right, Ben, hate on someone.
All right, so here I am in Los Angeles. Went to go and get lunch today. And I'm sitting at the counter, and I look over at the guy next to me, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Dude's got an A's cap on, you know, because it's kind of cool when you're not in the Bay, especially when you're in L.A. and you spot somebody else from the Bay Area. Like, I was at a concert the other night, and I met somebody who was from Walnut Creek. I was like, that's sick. All right, Walnut Creek, that's cool. But I looked at the guy, and so it looks like he's got this Oakland hat on, you know, green cap, yellow bill, pretty universally recognizable. And he turns it, it's got an L.A. on it. And I was like, what the heck? Ah. Why would you, like, even the SF caps in A's colors and the Giants caps, or I'm sorry, the A's caps in Giants colors, those already weird me out a little bit just because it, like, throws me off. But, like, a white Los Angeles logo on top of the A's cap, I just couldn't, I don't know.
Yeah, I hate that guy.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad, like, that
I gotta hate that guy.
That the half A's, half Giants hats thing has kind of died because it always bugged me.
Well,
you remember that, the Bay
really,
Bridge
really
series? Weird. Everybody was wearing those stupid things.
No, I hated that.
Yeah, I was like, come on, guys, really? No, you can't like both. Like, you like both equally. That just means you're not really a fan of either. You're just,
you know,
somebody
you can like
who,
both, but yeah. Everybody like tends to like one more.
Exactly. You like one more and wear that one. You know what I mean? Unless you're like a rapper, where then you just wear the hat of the team that matches your shirt. which is like kind of a weird. Have you noticed like that's like a style thing now? People just wear whatever team.
Yep.
Because that's like, I'm wearing all red today, so I'm wearing my Cincinnati Reds hat. Or I'm wearing all blue today, so I'm wearing my Dodgers hat. It's like weird. But anyway, all right, let's talk about why we're going to win it all. I'll start. I think we're going to win it all because these guys are highly motivated this year because of 2011. I think 2011 was just such a disappointment, not even making the playoffs after winning it all, that the bad taste, I think, is going to have stayed in these guys' mouths all offseason. And we've tasted the top. We want it back. We got that icky, nasty, no playoff taste in our mouth. We're going to do everything we can to get back this year. And I think they're going to be much more motivated than they were last year.
Lot of the guys that got hurt are really going to push a lot harder this year, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people have, like, they just didn't work quite as hard after winning the entire thing. You know, Aubrey Huff being the prime example of that. Didn't work as hard in the offseason and didn't have as good of a year. So I think all the guys are going to be working extra hard this season. And they're going to come in with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, especially I think people are thinking the Diamondbacks are maybe the team in the West right now. And, you know, I think the Giants want to still think that they're in that conversation. So chip on the shoulder. That's why. Ben, what do you think?
So this one's a little more far reaching. But so there's this cafe down here in L.A. called The Griddle, which is actually pretty awesome for two reasons. One is their pancakes are freaking huge. Like, I've never met a pancake that was larger than my face before.
Did you actually put your face down into the pancake to test that theory, or did you just kind of that was just an estimate?
I considered it, but it was really obvious.
Okay,
that's how bad it was. Is it was so much bigger than my face that I knew immediately it was larger than my face. So that's pretty awesome. But besides that,
and that's why we're gonna win it all. All right,
that's exactly why we're going. But the other reason is that I don't know that. I just appreciated this. All of them were wearing baseball caps of one team or another, with the exception of one guy who had a Vanderbilt hat on, who I assume didn't come from somewhere with a baseball team. But, you know, there was like a guy with the Brewers hat. There was one guy with the Dodgers hat. There was a guy with a Cincinnati hat. And there were two guys. I kept thinking they were the same guy because they had the same color shirt on and they both had Giants caps on. But then I realized one of them had the away cap with the orange bill and one of them had a black cap and Zito hair.
Yeah.
Actually, for all I know, it was Zito finding something to do in the off season. I'm not sure, but
getting a post wedding pancake, perhaps,
or just serving pancakes larger than his face for fun.
So you're saying because there were two Giants hats and only one of all the other teams, that's a good omen.
The fans are where the support comes from.
The it's LA fans have spoken.
That will carry us through.
All right.
Infiltrating, and we are a legion.
I like it. Let's look for omens anywhere we can. Actually, we should do that. Let's find omens in the world, and let's talk about them on this show.
So we're just going to have like an entire episode dedicated to like completely fringe reasons why we think the Giants will win it all next year.
Weird omens. Like I was walking down the street the other day and an orange and black bird landed on my shoulder. You know what I mean? There you go. Like that's we're going to win it all.
Actually, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. An Oriole? That means it yeah, no,
well, it was no, it was like a robin.
Ever since
but
you went to that park,
robin.
Dude. Ever yeah. since you went to Oriole Park, it's all changed.
That's true. Yeah, you know, I remember when I was there and I tweeted this too. I was like, all these fans are wearing, like, they're all rooting for the Giants and they don't even know it. These people are confused. All right, Chad, why do you think we're going to win it all?
So baseball is a game of numbers. We all know this.
Okay.
And
I did see Moneyball. Yeah.
It goes pretty deep. So when you say a half a run a game is going to make the difference, it doesn't really sound that much. But the reality is that's 80 runs over the course of a season. That's pretty significant. The Giants only finished...
A lot of 1-0 runs to turn, or 1-0 games to turn around the other way.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Giants only finished, what, 8 games behind the Diamondbacks? I know that sounds like a lot, but the reality is, how many 1- and 2-run games did they lose last year? And I just really do think that if the pitching pretty much stays the course, which was pretty amazing last year, in fact, it was better than 2010.
Agreed.
The fact that they have Posey back... Huff is on a contract year and an alternate year. Their outfield statistically should be better than in years past. I think they could easily squeak out a half a run per game for the rest of the year. So I really do think that's going to make the difference this year. So I'm hoping if everyone stays healthy, that's going to be the reason they win it all.
All right. I dig it.
So when they start winning by like 4.5 to 2, you start going to 4. See, there's a half right
there's
there.
There's that half right there.
You said it was coming. I did.
They need to have a run bank. They could just like store it and then cash it out later. That's
yeah, and be like, need. We need 2 runs today because Timmy's pitching. Tomorrow we're going to need 4 because, you know, Zito's pitching. Yeah, or actually 7. We'll need 7.
So just in case, if we score like 5 today, we're just going to ask to have 3 of those removed and save for tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll just bank
these. All I'm saying
is collect interest.
The New York Giants were outscored during the regular season, and they are in the Super Bowl.
There you go. It's true.
Sorry. It just upsets me.
I think you did a piece on this, didn't you?
I think that obviously you got a point bank.
Weren't the Giants the same way during the season last year at one point?
Almost.
Okay. So they were just like, it was a much closer gap
it was
than any
very,
other teams.
Very, very close. Yeah. They were way off the expected return for wins in terms of their run differential.
That's right. But, I remember it now. So, all right. There you go. The Giants are going to win it all. We've all predicted it. We've got hats. We've got runs. We've got bad tastes and good tastes and things like that as all reasons to point to. That's going to do it for this episode of the Torture Cast. I want to let everybody know to go ahead and follow us on Twitter. We are at Torture Cast, and you can also follow each of one of us individually. At ChadK21 is Chad. At Fried Duck is Ben. And at Willie Dills is me. So go ahead and do that. You can email us. mail@torturecast.com is the way to go. Go check out our blog, and it's got all of our episodes, previous episodes, and everything up there. Torturecast.com. We're hosted on Podomatic. If you like what we do, and there's other sports shows out there, go check them out. And also, I'm going to give a shout out to Giants Pod. So go to giantspod.net. Because that's a fantastic show as well. Two guys, a glove and a Coke bottle, and they're our friends. And yeah, I think that's going to do it. Thanks for everybody for listening, and we'll see you maybe next week for Super Bowl Sunday. We shall see. So stay tuned. Listen next week. We'll talk to you later. Boom!
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care. My love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco. Your golden sun will shine for me.
A big thank you to everybody for listening again to the TortureCast, the podcast about the San Francisco Giants by and for the fans. If you'd like to participate, you can do so by following us on Twitter. We are at TortureCast. Of course, you can always email us, torturecast@gmail.com. For Ben Lee, Mikey G, my name is Willie Dills, saying we'll see you next time. Home, baby.